This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can you hear me, inshallah? Everybody can hear me in the back? Do we have everyone? If you're not here, please raise your hand. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mantabahu dah, ma ba'd. Welcome to the second session of the purification of the soul module. We are still in page one. Okay? And hopefully we try to go fast today, inshallah. So we are at the last paragraph, where it says, Satan profits by frightening people from being accused of ostentatiousness. Ostentatiousness means hypocrisy. Satan profits by frightening people from being accused of hypocrisy. For a person might avoid doing that which is good for fear of being considered ostentatious, being considered hypocrite. What does that mean? Many times, some people want to do something good, giving in charity, helping someone. But then they say, what will people say? What if people thought, I'm doing this to show off? Let's not do it. You want to be sincere, but at the end of the day, did you do the good deed? You didn't. Why didn't you do it? Because of fear of being accused of hypocrisy. But then the good deed, was it done? It was not done. So that's how the shaitan is benefiting. He is stopping you from doing the deed. He made you fear that you might be hypocrite. Now, the solution is what? It doesn't mean that, yes, you should show off. No, do the deed, do the good deed, and try to purify your intention. Yes, you don't want to be a hypocrite, because you know that if you did something only to show off, only for the sake of people, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, you will not get the reward. But on the other hand, remember that there is someone who is in need. Maybe this money will benefit a family. Maybe this good act that you could help physically, mentally, time, whatever it is, could help someone. So do it. That's a good deed. Don't stop doing a good deed just because you are afraid. It might be hypocrisy. It might be showing off. Do the good deed and purify your intention. That's one of the ways of the shaitan to stop people from doing the good deed. What if I was showing off? So let's not do it. No. Do it and try to be sincere. That's the best way to do it. So is this sentence clear? You notice a lot of people, they stop doing the deed because of that. This is from the shaitan. Nobody is telling you have to be a hypocrite, you have to show off. But don't stop doing the good deed. Do the good deed and try to purify your intention. Page 2. Rationality and peace of mind. Whoever believes that he can totally avoid people's scorn and criticism is mad, is crazy. The statement in Arabic, مَنْ قَدَّرَ أَنَّهُ يَسْلَمُ مِنْ طَعْنِ النَّاسِ وَعَيْبِهِمْ فَهُوَ مَجْنُونَ. Someone who thinks that he will be protected, he will be free from people's criticism, is crazy. He's insane. Why? Here is one thing. Are we or aren't we perfect? Do we have or don't we have shortcomings? We do. Right? So, do we think that people would never criticize us? Even if we were perfect, how close we will be to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam criticized or not? Was he being accused of magic, poetry, other things? Was he or wasn't he? Who you are to think that you will be free from people's criticism. This is important because some people, they become upset. They become impatient. How come they say this about me? How dare they say this about me? Who you are? Who do you think you are? Even if you are the perfect person, even Allah Azza wa Jal Himself, our Creator, Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. Even Allah was criticized, and He is the Creator. Subhanallah. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ, the Jews said, the hand of Allah is stingy. They attributed children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So who do you think you are to think that you will be free from criticism? This will make you easy when you listen to some criticism. You should expect that. No matter how perfect your action, no matter how hard you try, there will be still people criticizing you. Don't worry about that. The best before you, people who are much better than you, they were criticized. You will never ever, no matter whatever you try, people will still criticize you. There is a beautiful story of Juha. This is a funny character in Arabic. I don't know if you heard this name before. This man, he had a donkey. At their time, they didn't have cars. So he was with his son. His son was walking, and he was riding the donkey. They passed by a village. The people of the village said, "Look at this ruthless man. He's riding the donkey and he's letting his son walk. What kind of a father is that?" So he said, "My son, come ride behind me. It's too much for the donkey, but what can we say? This is what people are saying." So his son now behind him on the donkey. Now the people said, "Look at those two merciless people. Two on one donkey? They don't have mercy to this animal?" So he said, "My son, I will step down, I will walk, you ride the donkey." Now, the people said, "Look at this disrespectful son. His father is walking and he is on the donkey. What kind of a son is that?" So the son said, "Father, I don't want to ride the donkey." So he stepped down. Now both of them are walking and the donkey is walking also next to them. They said, "Look at those stupid people. They have a donkey and nobody is riding it." So whatever you try, there will be people criticizing you. Whatever you try. So remember to work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. If Allah azza wa jal is pleased with you, it doesn't matter what people are doing. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he invited people to give in charity before the ghazwa of Tabuk, there were people who are sincere. They want to give whatever they can. Some of them were rich, like Uthman radiallahu anhu. He gave a lot of money. The hypocrites, what did they say? "Look at him, he is showing off." Some people, they had little, like one coin. Imagine one ringgit. What would one ringgit do to prepare an army? They said, "Look at these stupid people. They think that this is going to help. So if you give a lot, they will criticize you. You would give little, they will criticize you. What are they doing?" Nothing. There will be people like that. They are just only criticizing. So don't worry about them. There will be always people like that. Even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were people like that. So who do you think you are not to be subjected to criticism? It will happen. So you have to be easy when it happens. Whoever examines matters carefully and disciplines himself to rely on the facts would enjoy people's criticizing him more than praising him. If you really examine the matters carefully, if you are very wise, you would be happy with people's criticism. People criticism? Yes. More than people's praise. By nature, we like people when they praise us. MashaAllah, look how nice, look how good. MashaAllah, worshipper. MashaAllah. We like that by nature, but Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah says, if you examine the matters carefully, actually you should be happier with the criticism. Why? Here is the reason why. This is because if they praise him justly, and he becomes aware of their praise, it might make him vainglorious, arrogant. When people praise you, and you are aware of their praise, mashallah, the lecture was perfect. Alhamdulillah, I prepared, I did hard. So now, you might become showing off. Yes, I am a good teacher. And it might lead you to this. So you don't want this to happen to you. This is if they praised you justly. It is true, you deserve that praise. But praise after praise after praise, you become... That's why, every time, even if we do the act perfectly, even after Hajj, we ask Allah for forgiveness. Even after prayer, we say Astaghfirullah. Why? You did the perfect act still to rid yourself from any arrogance, from any showing off. You ask Allah for forgiveness even after doing the best act. And this would devalue his virtues. If you become arrogant, that will devalue the virtue. If they praise him unjustly, and he becomes aware of their praise, he would attain happiness from that which is false. And this would be a grave fault. We have some people, they are happy with getting credit for things they didn't do. Allah mentioned in the Quran, لا تحسبن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا. Don't be happy with someone praising you for something you didn't do. The Prophet ﷺ said, المتشبع بما لم يعطى كلابس ثوبي زور. The one who is happy with getting credit for something he or she didn't do is like the one who is happy with wearing two false garments. Two garments full of falsehood. You come late, your eyes are red in the morning, and people say, MashaAllah, all the night you were awake praying Qiyamul Layl, and you say, Alhamdulillah, and you were watching TV. Okay, this is similar. Getting credit for something you didn't do, and you say, yeah, Alhamdulillah. So Ibn Hazm rahimahullah says, if you're happy like that, this is falsehood. This is stupidity when you are happy with praise that you don't deserve. This is about praise. On the other hand, if people criticize him justly, and he becomes aware of their criticism, it might help him to avoid that for which he is criticized. This is free feedback, free advice. Now, corporates, they pay money for you. Please give us your feedback. Why? They want to improve. They want to make more money. You want to make more hasanat. So people are criticizing you, and it's just, it's true. Don't deny it, correct it. Try to correct it. What they are saying is true. So alhamdulillah, they pointed you to something that you were doing and you were not aware of it. So you say, alhamdulillah, I will correct it. So that's better, if they criticized you justly. It might help him to avoid that for which he is criticized. And this would be a great fortune, which only the faulty would forsake. Only people full of shortcomings, they don't like that. They don't like to be criticized or advised. If they criticize him unjustly, and he becomes aware of their criticism and perseveres, he would become more virtuous by his perseverance and forbearance. What if you know that what they are saying is false? It's not true. And you are trying to be patient. You will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was criticized, قَالُوا إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِن قَبْلِ. They accused him of being a thief. Was Yusuf alayhi salam a thief? He wasn't. So when you are patient, when you persevere for an accusation that you didn't do, you will get more reward. So you look at it from both ways. First, the way of praise, they are praising you. It's not good. Even if it's true, it might make you arrogant. If it's not true and you're happy with it, that's foolishness. Criticism, if it's true, it's good feedback, free feedback, you are improving. False criticism, it's reward, ajr for you. So by all means, which is better? Being criticized. But who thinks like that? Very few people think like that. We always like to be praised. Moreover, he gains reward because he receives some of the good deeds of those who criticize him unjustly. This is another thing. Do you or don't you get reward from people for backbiting you? They criticized you. Is it true? It's not true. So you are rewarded. You are getting their hasanat. One time, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, one of the pious predecessors, he was giving a talk, a session, and one of his students came and he told him, there is a man who was talking bad about you. He said this and this about you. Next day, Al-Hasan al-Basri came with a plate of dates, knocked on the door of the man and he gave him the plate of dates. The man was shocked. He said, what is this for? He said, I'm giving you some of the reward because you gave me your hasanat. So this is something little I'm giving you in return. You were talking about me, backbiting me. That's the least I could do. I'm giving you a gift. Because you are giving me hasanat, I'm giving you only dates. So very few people think like that. This is how you should think. Don't be upset if people criticized you. Actually, if it's not true, you should be very happy. You should be very happy. Why? Because they couldn't find something real to say. They had to fake something against you. Moreover, he gains reward because he receives some of the good deeds of those who criticize him unjustly. These deeds will count for him on the day of judgment, when he will be in the most need to be saved. Let it be by deeds of which he did not labor and by which he was not burdened. This is a great fortune which only a fool would belittle. Again, we like to get money for easy acts or not even for working at all. How nice is it to be sitting and getting money? How about if you are sitting and getting hasanat? Usually to get hasanat you have to work. You have to do the ibadah. But why not? Other people are giving us their hasanat. How? When they backbite us. So don't be upset. Don't be sad. Let them do whatever they want. Alhamdulillah, you are getting hasanat. For those who came late, we are at the third paragraph on page 2. Okay? If he is not aware of people's praise of him, then whether they talked about him or were silent, make no difference for him. Now, this is provided that you knew about praise or criticism. What if you didn't know? You don't know what people are talking. They are talking about you thousands of miles away. If they praised you while they are away, you didn't know about it, would that affect you? You don't know. That would not affect you. But that is not the case with their criticism, for he will be rewarded either way. What if you didn't know about people who criticized you? You are still getting the reward from them because they are still backbiting you. You don't have to know about them backbiting you to get the reward. You are still getting the reward. So either way, whether you knew or you didn't know, you are still rewarded. So which one is better? You look at it from every way, criticism is better. Okay? So stop complaining about your mother-in-law. Stop complaining about the family of your spouse. Stop. You should be happy. Alhamdulillah. Actually, that will make you feel better. That will make you a better person. The Prophet ﷺ, they accused him of being a liar. He never lied. He never lied. He was the most trustworthy. They knew that even after Islam, they used to call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy. They accused him of being a magician, soothsayer, of all these things. He is the messenger of Allah. Who are you to feel upset that people are criticizing me? Who are you? We are full of shortcomings. So be happy. Accept that. If it were not for the saying of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam about praise, this is the worldly good tidings for the believer, it would be incumbent upon the rational to desire to be criticized unjustly more than to be praised justly. Now, it doesn't mean that you always, always should hate praise or should not appreciate the good work. No. The Prophet ﷺ himself used to appreciate the good work. Used to tell someone like Khalid radiallahu an, the shaded sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Used to call Mu'adh radiallahu an, the one who is most knowledgeable with halal and haram. Abu Bakr, the highest one in the ummah. He used to give them what they deserve. That is fine. What is condemned, whenever it goes beyond that, that is when it becomes dangerous. One time, the Prophet ﷺ heard a man praising another man. He told him, woe to you, you cut off his neck. Why? He was praising him too much. So you have to balance this. Also, the Prophet ﷺ was asked one time, this is the meaning of this statement of the Imam. One time the Prophet ﷺ was asked, O Messenger of Allah, one of us would do a good deed, and people thank him for that. He said, this is the glad tiding. What glad tiding? Inshallah, you'll get the reward. When you'll get the reward? On the Day of Judgment. But this is the glad tiding by people talking good about this deed. Okay? Don't exaggerate. Don't go too much. Don't become arrogant. Say, Alhamdulillah, inshallah, it is accepted. People are talking good about it. Alhamdulillah, that's all. So, Ibn Hazm rahimahullah is saying, this is the only exception when people like to be praised. Other than that, they always, always should be happy with people's criticism. The next, last paragraph of page 2, there is no separation between virtue and vice, and between obedience to Allah and disobedience, except by being repelled and being attracted. Is it the same? Obedience and disobedience. Imam al-Hazm rahimahullah is saying it's the same. The only separation is being repelled or being attracted. Why people complain whenever it is ibadah? Oh, it's 1 hour? That's a lot. You never hear them complaining standing 1 hour in line to get a ticket, to watch a movie, to watch a game. So what is the difference? Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah says, both ibadah and ma'asiyah, obedience and disobedience, they are the same. Actually, sometimes the disobedience is harder. Yet still people do it. Why? They are attracted to it. That's the only difference. Now, for the righteous, the one who fears Allah, and the one who is wicked, the one who disobeys Allah, commits zina, commits sins. The one who's righteous, doesn't he have desire? Or he has a desire? So what's the difference between the two? Only controlling yourself, stopping yourself, that's all. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and forbade the self from hawa, from the desire. All of us, we have desires. All of us, we have whims and desires. Some of us, maybe we have more than the sinners. So what's stopping us? It's only fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the one who fears Allah is not a robot. Is not emotionless. We all have emotions. The only difference is, again, as Ibn Hazm rahimahullah here says, being attracted or being repelled. Those people, shaitan made it beautiful to them. The wrong deeds, the wrong actions became beautiful in their eyes. So they are willing even to pay money. Many times to sin actually costs more money. To obey Allah, it's free. They don't charge you to come to the masjid. But you complain, oh, it's hot. You never complain going and watching outdoor, going and paying for a ticket and waiting in line and doing all that. So what is the difference here? It's only being attracted and being repelled. The blissful, Ibn Hazm rahimahullah says, the blissful is the one who is attracted to virtue and obedience, and is repelled by vice and disobedience. And the wretched is one who is attracted to vice and disobedience, and is repelled by virtue and obedience. The only deliverance here is by the blessing of Allah and His protection. What's the solution? Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, to show you what is right as right, and guide you to follow it, to show you what is evil as evil, and guide you to avoid it. That's why after the prayer of the dua that we say, Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help us. We need the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some people, you just can't rationalize it. You can't understand how those people, they travel, they pay money, and they make the effort to do something haram. You can't understand how people are able to do that. But still, why? To them it's fun. Let's go, let's have fun, by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal to be attracted to doing the good deeds. How can you do that? Always ask Allah. Always pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him to help you. Next, the one who seeks the hereafter imitates the angels. The angels, what is their attribute? Mainly, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. They disobey Allah, not. They don't disobey Allah. ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They do what they are commanded. That's the angels. So you want to obey Allah, you are imitating the angels. Is that good or bad? Trying to resemble the angels, that is good. Because the angels are of the best creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the human being, when he is trying to obey Allah, actually he becomes better than the angels. Why? Because the angels, they don't have the desires that we have. So that's how you elevate yourself. The one who seeks glory and fame imitates the beasts. We have some people who like always to be mentioned. My name. I want to donate for a book to be printed, but I want my name to be written bigger than the title itself. Okay? Some people are like that. So they are like what? Like the beasts in the jungle. Who's the king of the jungle? Lion. Why? He has a roar. Okay? He may not be necessarily the strongest, but he's the king of the jungle. Okay? A small snake could kill the lion, could bite the lion and poison him. But still, so remember always, if you are looking for fame, for glory, regardless of whether it's halal or haram, of hypocrisy, you are like the beasts. You like to be mentioned. You like your name to be mentioned. And the one who seeks worldly pleasures imitates the animals. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. You live only to eat and drink and sleep. These are the animals. That's what they do. Actually, many of the animals are better than many of human beings. When human beings disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are worse than the animals. Because even the animals, with all what they do, still they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ. Have you not seen that to Allah prostrates whoever is in heavens, مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and whoever on earth. وَالشَّمْسُ, the sun. وَالْقَمَرُ, the moon. وَالنُّجُومُ, the stars. وَالْجِبَالُ, mountains. وَالشَّجَرُ, trees. وَالْأَنْعَامُ, and animals. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, but a lot of people, not all the people, unlike the animals. So the animals actually are better than the human beings when the human beings disbelieve in Allah. So if you are only following your desires, you are living only to eat, to drink, to sleep, you are like the animals. There is nothing wrong with fulfilling your desire, the halal way. There is nothing wrong with that. But your main purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who seeks wealth for the sake of having wealth and not to spend it for what is obligatory and for praiseworthy deeds is too low to be compared to animals. Subhanallah, this is an example for someone that has no similarity with the animals. If you collect money for the sake of money. There are some people who are stingy. They work and they labor all their life. They collected a lot of money. Why? Money is a goal or is a means? It's means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to use it for good things, to spend it on yourself. But you live all your life collecting money 20, 30 years, and then after that you die. You never spent it in charity. You never did any good thing. Ibn Hazm rahimahullah says, if you collect money only for the sake of collecting money, you are too low to be compared to animals. Subhanallah. Some people are like that. But he is the one who is like that, very stingy, does not use money at all. But he is like the puddles of water inside the caves in rough terrains, from which no animal can benefit. There is water, you're thirsty, but you cannot reach it. That's the example of the one who collects money only for the sake of money, not to do anything with it. The rational does not rejoice in having a trait more of which Allah favored him over the beasts, animals and inanimate objects. This trait is the mind, which he shares with the angels. That's the thing that you should be happy with, rationality. Because fame, you shouldn't be happy with it. Other animals are like that. Money, you shouldn't be happy with it unless you use it for the sake of Allah. Other people were much richer than you, and they deserved the curse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah caused the earth to swallow them, like Qarun. Why? They became arrogant. They thought that this is because of what they did, not from Allah. They didn't thank Allah for the money. They didn't use it for something good. What did Allah do? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ Everything was gone. So you should be happy with something. You are only competing with the angels. You are only as good as the angels in it. Other things, don't be very happy with them. Unless you use them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever is pleased with his carriage, this is an example. Whoever is pleased with his carriage, which he applies in matters that are not for the sake of Allah, the Exalted, full of majesty, should know that the tiger is braver than he, and that the lion, wolf, and elephant are more courageous than him. I am courageous. Okay, what kind of carriage do you have? Have you seen the people who jump from the plane, parachuting, bungee jumping? Is that carriage or no? Believe me, it takes a lot of heart to do it. But then what? What if the cord was cut off? What good did you do? How that was helpful if you died? So this is using the carriage for nothing useful. Don't be happy with that, because there are animals more courageous than you are. Okay? Tigers, elephants, they would run. When they see something, they would run. So you are brave, you think you are brave, that's not bravery. That's carelessness. Carriage, when you use it in the right way, yes, it is praiseworthy. But other than that, you shouldn't be happy with it. Whoever is pleased with his bodily strength should know that the mule, the bull, and elephant have stronger bodies. Have you seen people, muscular people, they go to the gym and with huge muscles and they walk like that. Every mirror they try to look. It's fine. No, nobody says you don't have to have a good strong body. No one is telling you don't have a strong body. But for what? Are you using it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you're just showing off? look at my biceps, look. And they turn every mirror to their body. How strong you will be? The mule is stronger than you. The elephant could crush you. Even the ant, do you know how much the ant can carry? How? Exactly. 10 times. 10 times. So no matter how much you can push up, how much you can lift, you weigh 100 kilograms. I carried 100 kilograms, 10 times, 10 reps. Okay, can you carry 1,000? Oh no, I can't. Even the world champion cannot. Well, the ant carries 10 times more than weight. So what are you trying to say when you are muscular and you are showing off? You're trying to say, I became like an ant. So use your body strength for something useful. Yes, then you could be praised. But just to be happy with your body, it's not from you, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not using it for something useful, so what? It's not something that you deserve praise for. Whoever is pleased with his ability to lift weights should know that the donkey can lift heavier weights. Yes or no? Donkeys, they carry a lot. Whoever is pleased with how fast he can run should know that the dog and rabbit are faster than him. Yes or no? Some animals are very fast. So when you come and show off, I am very fast. I ran 100 meters in 10 seconds. Okay, the horse runs faster. So what are you trying to say? You became like a horse? When you use that for something useful, yes, alhamdulillah. But just to be proud of what Allah Azza wa Jal Himself gave you, what's the use? For what? What did you do of good deeds with what Allah gave you? That's the question. One of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he was very fast. Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu anhu. He was very fast. He was almost like a horse. But he used that for the sake of Allah. One time he chased the thieves. They stole the camels. They stole from the zakah of the Prophet ﷺ. So he chased them and he made them leave everything behind. So that's something good. But just to go and compete and to come back and say, I have gold medal and I am fast, for what? What help did you give humanity? People, your family. That's what you need to think of always. Whoever is pleased with the beauty of his voice. We have some people like that. MashaAllah, what a nice voice. Okay, what are you using it for? Singing? There are birds. He should know that many birds sing more beautifully than he, and that the woodwinds sound sweeter than he. So don't be happy with your voice unless you use that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we have competitions now. Who has the best voice? So what? Are we really in need of more singers? Of more people just chanting? For what? But if you use that to read the Quran, to help the children, to calm them down, to do something good, yes. Other than that, you should remember, birds, they have better voice. Their sound is better. The chirping of the birds, the woodwinds and other, they are sweeter. Hence, what sort of pride or pleasure should one feel in traits in which the animals excel more than he does? Don't be happy with getting credit for something that the animals are better than you. Your happiness should be for something that you helped humanity with, for something that you pleased Allah Azza wa Jal with. That's where you should be happy. But the one whose mind is strong, whose knowledge is broad, and whose deeds are good should feel true happiness. Because he is surpassed in these matters only by the angels and the best of men. That's where you should compete always. With the angels, with the best of people. not with the animals, not with the kuffar. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ to the one who asked him for an advice, do not anger, and his command that a person should love for another what he loves for himself, cover all virtues. You want something sufficient, something short. You don't want a long lecture, a lot of words. Here are two hadiths from the Prophet ﷺ. Those two hadith are sufficient for you. The first one, don't anger or don't be upset. لا تغضب. That's the first one. The second one, love for your brother what you love for yourself. Two narrations only cover all the virtues. How? Here is the explanation. Because advising against anger is a discipline for the aggressive self. That's one of them. What does it mean? How many times people told you, what did you do? Why did you say what you said? And you say, I'm sorry, I was upset. How many times? This is exactly why the Prophet ﷺ said, do not anger. By the way, what does it mean? I'm sure you heard this hadith before, right? لا تغضب. What does it mean? What does it mean? لا تغضب. What does it mean? Do we have or don't we have emotions? We do, right? So when we have emotions, do we have the tendency or we don't have to be upset? We have. So what does it mean? Is the Prophet ﷺ telling us to or not to be humans? What does it mean then? If you say no, what does it mean when the Prophet ﷺ says, لا تغضب? We are humans. By nature, we have the tendency to be upset. So when the Prophet ﷺ is saying, do not anger, don't be upset, what does it mean? Control. How? What does it mean, be patient? What does it mean, don't be angry? By nature, I have to be angry. I am a human being. Someone did something to upset me, I will be upset. Unless I am a robot, I am emotionless, but I am full with emotions. I have feelings. So what does it mean? Again, you said to control yourself. That's very good. That's halfway through. Half the explanation. What does it mean to control?
Don't act on it. Don't externalize.
Very good. Don't let anger the motive behind your action. You are controlled by the anger here. So later you said, I'm sorry, I was angry. That's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said not to do. Don't say, oh, I was angry. That's exactly the meaning of the hadith. When you are angry, still control yourself. That's the meaning of the hadith. So when you stop acting upon being upset, this will stop your aggressive self. So you will not do injustice. You will never say, I'm sorry, I was upset. You don't have to give this excuse. That's number one. Number two, his command, last line, this is last line in page 3. His command that one should love for another what he loves for himself is a discipline for the desiring self and is an attainment of justice, which is the purpose of speech, belongs to the speaking self. Every one of us, if you ask him or her, what are we looking for? Justice. This is a quality that every single human being would search for and look for. How can you make sure that you are just? One simple way. Don't do to people what you don't like to be done to you. Don't say to people what you don't like to be said to you. That's it. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. Very simple statement, but many people find it hard to implement. I gave this example in the last course. You had a meal, very nice meal. And then there was a leftover. Do you or don't you give it to the poor people? Let's take it and give it to the poor people. It's a good deed, right? Do you like to be given leftover? That's the question. Do you like to be given leftover? Or worn out clothes? You used something, dress, t-shirt, hijab, after 1 year, let's give it away in charity. Do you like to wear something that was worn for 1 year? So don't do something you don't like to be done. Don't like it to be done to you. Don't say something you don't like to be said to you. That's it. When you do that, you will make sure you are just. And this will cover all the virtues. It doesn't mean we don't need the other ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, they are all useful. They are all beautiful. But this will suffice you. Two things. Don't anger. Don't act. When you are angry, let anger control your behavior, your words, your actions. And love for your brother or your sister, for that matter, what you love for yourself. That will be sufficient for you. Two things only. Two ahadith. I have seen most people, save the few that Allah Azza wa Jal protected, bring upon themselves misery, distress, and weariness in this life. And they commit grave sins which could lead them to the hellfire in the hereafter, and from which they collect no benefit. Many people do that. How? They do this by having wretched wishes, as wishing for exuberant prices, which lead to the ruin of people, the children and those who have no fault, or wishing the worst of calamity for those whom they hate. You hate someone, inshallah, a disaster will take her, will take him. When was the last time you had this feeling? You hated someone, so you wanted destruction for him or her. Just because you hate him or her, Allah will not respond to your wishes. So you keep wishing and wishing, and actually it's harming you only. That's one thing. Another thing, you work in a car dealership, or you sell tires. How people sell tires? You want people's cars' tires to be punctured, okay? To be flat. So is that good or bad? Well, you want your business to flourish. You are a doctor. You wish people to be sick. That's not the right wish. Okay? You have a grocery store and you wish that there is famine. So people would come and buy everything from you. That's not the right way. Okay? What's the crime for those children that are hungry? Or for those who were in the car? Now all of them stopped, because there is a joke that one shop that sells tires, 2 kilometers earlier, they always put pins in the road. So people would have flat tires and they come to him. Is that something? Do you think Allah will bless your business, will bless your money by that? No. So stop having bad wishes. Just because you hate someone, that doesn't mean Allah will respond to you. Maybe he or she also hate you. And they will pray against you. Qadr doesn't work that way. Allah is not waiting for us. Who do we hate? So Allah would punish him or her. No. Life will go on. You will only have bad wishes. You will only have bad emotions, and it will only affect you. Sometimes you will have sins also. You are committing sins by these wishes, by acting upon these things. You hate someone, Allah Azza wa Jal will deal with him or her. That's it. Move on. But many people, unfortunately, they don't think that way. Every day, what happened? What happened? Nothing wrong happened? Ya Allah. Next day, what happened? Stop doing that. Stop thinking like that. Okay? Be busy, mind your own business. Be busy with what you are supposed to do. Not what happens to others. What people are doing. You will not be asked about them. That's not your job. they know for certainty that having such wretched wishes. Now, if you wish for a famine to happen, does that make it happen? If you pray to Allah, "Oh Allah, destroy this person." Why? I hate him or her. Would Allah respond to you? You know, Allah will not accept this kind of dua. They know for certainty that having such wretched wishes does not bring about sooner what they wish for, or what is ordained to happen. Had they purified and beautified their intentions, they would have brought comfort to themselves, and thus they would have been able to pay attention to what benefits them. That's what you should do. Only pay attention to what's useful for you, what benefits you. By doing this, they would gain a great reward in the hereafter, without making what they want or wish for come true any later. Our wishes, our whims and desires, they don't delay or bring sooner the qadr of Allah. Okay, the qadr of Allah is not dependent on our emotions, on our feelings. Who do we hate? Who do we like? The qadr of Allah is going to happen no matter what. So what should we do? Purify your intentions. That's all what you need to do. So what is a greater injustice than what we warned against? And what is a greater happiness than what we enjoy? You are doing to yourself before anybody else injustice, because you are becoming worried. You are always asking, what's going to happen? Did it happen? No, it didn't happen. And you're wasting your time. It's not going to happen just because of what you feel. On the other hand, purify your intention and you will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is The provision is going to come to you. Don't make your money based on people's calamities, people's atrocities. That's the worst way to make money. If you investigate the duration of this life, you will find it nothing but the current moment. How much or how long is the duration of life? How old are you? It's a secret, I can't say. 30, 40. That's not really how old are you. That's how much time is gone. It's already gone. What do you have? The duration of life is the current moment. This current moment. Prove it. The past and the future are nothing, for they don't exist. Do we know what's going to happen in the future? No, we might project, we might plan, but we don't know for sure what will happen. So whatever we plan for, whatever nice and beautiful dreams we have for the future, we don't know. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they will happen or they will not happen, we don't know. What about the past? If you were asked to bring one day from the past, from the 30 years, 40 years you lived, can you bring one day, 1 hour? No, it's gone. What do you have? This current moment. Make sure you maximize this current moment. That's all what you have. Many people, they are hostages for the past. Something happened, move on. Move on, forget about it. Even if you try, you cannot bring back the past. It's gone. Future, it's unknown. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah only knows what will happen. I saw people, this is something I saw, people planning for 2 years ahead of time. They paid the money up front. Everything was gone. Nobody projected, nobody expected that war will break. But it happened. They lost everything. You don't know. They tell you security, insurance, the only insurance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Piety. Fearing Allah, that's all. That's the real insurance. What's going to happen tomorrow? You don't know. It's with Allah. What do you have? You have this current moment. Make sure you do the best. You maximize your current moment. That's how you will be judged. Past is gone, future is unknown. The only thing that is good about the past, you can go back and try to learn. That's all. But don't be a hostage to the past. So how old are you? You are 1 second. That's what we have. Whether you are 40, 50, 100 years, that's all gone. It's all gone now. If you did good, alhamdulillah, try to do better. If you did bad, ask Allah for forgiveness. And try to correct your actions. That's all. So, only few people think about life this way. You will find it, the duration of life, you will find it nothing but the current moment, which separates the past from future. The past and the future are nothing, for they don't exist. So who is more astray than the one who trades an everlasting eternity with a period shorter than the blink of an eye? Okay. We have some people, for the pleasure of one moment, they waste their entire life. Just to sin, they paid a lot of money, and on the Day of Judgment, they will be punished forever. It's very sad. People with little wisdom, they would know that it's not worth it. It is not worth it. When Allah asks the people, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. How much time have you lived on earth? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَيْمُ. We don't know. Maybe one day, maybe part of a day. You lived 60, 70 years, but it just went like that. Just like blink of an eye. So use it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is more astray than the one who is trading the everlasting happiness in paradise, inshallah, for a moment, only the pleasure of a moment that is displeasing Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why one of the pious predecessors, one time, he stood up out of respect for a criminal who was going to be executed. And his students were shocked. They said, "You are standing in ovation for this man, this criminal?" He said, "Yes. I should respect him. He knew what he is involving himself in. He knew that he is going to be killed. And still he had the determination to do it. So he deserves respect for his determination. We know that there is Jannah. But we are not patient. We still complain. We are not determined like this man. He knows that the punishment is death. Yet still he did it. We know the everlasting happiness in paradise, and we are not really doing a lot. So that's why he stood up. That's what he told his students. So always remember that this life is only blink of an eye. That's the period of life. So whatever difficulties you're having, it will go through. You will overcome that. Whatever happiness also, it will go away. Only try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person sleeps, he exits this world and forgets all its joys and sorrows. Should he train himself to behave in the same manner while he's awake, he will attain perfect happiness. Okay, when you sleep, is it different if you owe people money or they owe you money, or you will sleep anyways? You are not feeling anything. Rich and poor, when they sleep, the rich will sleep better. They don't feel anything. So whatever you are facing in this dunya, if it's so difficult, remember that at the end of the day, you will sleep. So you'll forget about it. So try to act the same way in this dunya when you are awake. That will help you overcome the difficulties, will help you deal with the difficulties in a better manner. That no matter how hard it is, it's okay. At the end of the day, whatever hard or difficult day you had, you will be able to sleep. Alhamdulillah. So train yourself that whatever difficulty you are facing, you'll forget about it once you go to sleep. So try also to deal with it in an easier way while you are awake. Whoever mistreats his family and neighbors is the worst among them. Your family and neighbors, you are expected to be the best to them. So if you are not dealing with them in the best manner, you are the worst. Because these are the ones that you are expected to be best to them. The foreigners, maybe yes. People that you don't know, maybe or maybe not, you will be good to them. But your family, your neighbors, you should be the best to them. If you mistreat them, you are the worst. And whoever pays back by similar deeds those among them who mistreat him is no different from them. My neighbors are bad. They did something bad to me. So I am doing something bad to them. Well, you are just like them. Joining the kinship is not by paying a visit to the one that pays you visit. That is rewarding. You are just like him or her. She gave me a gift, I will give her a gift. You are equal. But the one who does not avenge their mistreatment is the master and the best among them. If you do a better deed, if you visit those who don't visit you, if you give a gift to the one that didn't give you a gift, if you do good deed to the one that did you bad deed, then you are the best. Then you are the best. So, are you the worst, or you are equivalent, or you are the best? It's easy to say we are the best, and inshallah we are. But remember, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي. The one who joins the kinship is not the one who joins those who join him. Visit those who visit him. No. It is the one who joins the kinship when they sever the ties, when they cut the ties. You give a gift when they didn't give you. Last Eid, I had an occasion and nobody gave me anything. That's why I'm not giving anybody anything. You don't give them because of what they gave you. You give them because of who you are. Because of who you are. I'll stop here, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khaira. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in. We have some time for questions. If you have any questions, any comments, anything, you like to share anything, bismillah, now is the time.
Yeah. So giving is also good in that sense. Like let's say, I don't mind receiving something that's nicer that somebody didn't like it anymore. You know, in that sense, like a t-shirt or shirt.
Yeah.
Like, let's say, to me, I consider it all, but to another person, it might be...
Yes. Again, does it mean that we throw the leftover? No, we don't throw it. It's still a good deed to give it to poor people. They need it. But... do we settle for that, or we should always look for the best? When was the last time you went and you bought brand new clothes and you said, this is for charity? Because Allah says in the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain righteousness until you spend from what you love. Not what you hate. This is something you hated. It's already done, worn out. Okay, so always look for the best. That doesn't mean giving the leftover or the worn out clothes is not a good deed. It's a bad deed. No, it is a good deed, but not the best of deeds. So try always to have the best of deeds. Any other comments? Yes. Yeah. Why? What did he do? True. No, true. You try to correct. But that doesn't change the fact that they said something bad and you deserve the reward. Still, does it mean that you leave it? No, you try to correct it. You try to explain, but that doesn't change the fact that you are rewarded. Any other comment or question? Or a follow-up? Yes.
If if somebody does something bad to you, and you do not take revenge, but in your heart you say, wait, one day Allah will give you back the same thing.
True. We have feelings. We feel like that. We are asking Allah for justice. There is nothing wrong with that. And it's not easy. Again, what is written is not easy. But when you try to practice it, you will be able, inshallah, to do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the best not only to his companions. He was the best even to the enemies. Even the leader of the hypocrites, he prayed for him, for his forgiveness. He prayed the janazah. He took off his cloak and wrapped him with it. Who would do that from us? That's to his enemy, to the leader of the hypocrites. So it's not easy to be in this level, but if you reach that level, you will be of the best of people. To ask Allah for justice, may Allah do what they are doing to me, it's not bad. You are asking for justice. Can you do better? Yes, you should try to do better. You cannot, alhamdulillah. And Allah is just. Don't think that He doesn't see what people are doing. It's always known that whoever does injustice will see it before death. Other than the punishment in the hereafter, it will happen here in this world. Either by a disease, by a sickness, it's going to happen. So Allah is just. He sees what people are doing.
Is there a criteria that we should use to know when it's best to, let's say, be patient or overlook harm coming from someone? When it's appropriate to, let's say, retaliate or to respond? Like, is it better to just overlook it if it's regarding ourselves, if it's regarding someone else? Let's say a family member was insulted or something like that.
Yes.
Is it better to respond in that case, or should we tell them to overlook? Or
yes, this is different. Now you are defending the honor of a Muslim. But when it is personal, the Prophet ﷺ never avenged a personal thing for his own self. He was attacked, he was abused, he never. But when it is about someone else, yes. Also, being patient does not mean trying to correct what is wrong. Islam never tells people to be cowards. Okay, somebody took your money. It's your money. Like, and you say, okay, Allah will take it. No, your right is to go and ask for that money and demand and take it back. You correct what is wrong, there is nothing wrong with that. You should do that. Anything else? Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.